into the kingdom of God. God's kingdom of love. Is that not the message? What you've come here to feel is love again. Out there, all kinds of disappointments happen to you. Out there, all kinds of frustrations happen to you. And it plays havoc with your ability to keep on loving. Amen? Did you come from the same world I came from?
Yes.
Is not everything pulling on your heartstrings? I wrote down a message for you this morning after I quit being angry at something that happened. Don't you always write your best messages after your heart's been broken or something terrible happened, and here comes you writing your poems of just absolutely flowing understanding? Hello? I'm on the line. Talk to me. Don't sit there like mummies. If you don't agree, shake your head no, and I'll try to understand why you don't. We can do it in love. The greatest poetry I've ever written in my life was after my heart was broken. You who taught me how to run now leaves me crippled. Oh, I used to write the most gorgeous poetry after broken hearts and disappointments and being fired from jobs. It's like something in me knew there was something beautiful in everything that happened. And my hand could write in direct communication with my spirit that which my heart could not understand. Your hands are out there writing and moving and servicing and dealing with people. And the more you have to deal with your physical life, the less your mind understands what's going on and what parts you're playing with what people. And your mind telling you it's a game, and your heart gets lost somewhere between your hands and your mind. True or false? Let's come and get our minds and our hands and our hearts together. Now, it doesn't matter what your problem is. If you want to treat yourself on a holistic level, don't bring in here a broken marriage, a job that's on the rocks, a lover that you haven't talked to in 2 days. Don't bring the little garbage in here. When you look for a medical doctor today, you look for a holistic doctor who can deal today, the new medicine, with your immune system. You still with me? Now, there's some doctors that say, I'm not interested in your liver, your gallbladder, your heart troubles, or this or that. I want to work with your immune system. I want to go beyond your disease into your immune system. I'm going to treat it, bring it up to its capacity of strength and vitality, well-being and spiritual calm, and then we'll handle what organs in your body that aren't working. That's medicine today. They can do that. So if medicine has advanced to that today, come advance with me in the spiritual advancement. Religion is not the answer. Dogmas and creeds and mass beliefs and trying to join people who believe is not the answer. You know that somewhere in there is a step to the answer. You wonder, why did I fall in love? Why did I meet this person? Why have we spiritually touched each other? Physically, we know why. Emotionally, we know why. Mentally, we know why. We've paid the price for meeting this person. But what did we buy? It's like going gift shopping and buying a beautiful gift and wrapping it up and store it in the closet, and a year later, forget what's in it. We have all met for a reason. Every marriage, every job, every love affair, every neighbor, every friendship is leading us somewhere. And you usually get involved with religious people, because religious people will clarify your mind spiritually. Because religious people, when they speak to you, can hear where they are physically and mentally and emotionally confused and say life can only exist if all of this other forms of life as we know it is denied. There is nothing in this world that is wrong. There is no action that is wrong. Wherever two of you gather together, or three, and agree upon anything, and you're not lying, cheating, stealing, misusing each other, it is there. What is wrong is how you are going about being who you are. What you are is not wrong, but how you're going about being who you are, because you're afraid, and fear is the parent of cruelty. Isn't it? People are cruel when they're fearful. I know I am. Every time I become cruel, I look at myself, why? Because I'm afraid of something. I'm afraid it's not going to work out. I'm afraid this isn't going to happen. I'm afraid that my belief systems will not live up to my desires. My desires are way up here, and my belief system of what I deserve is way down here, and that's hell. When you have this belief system and your desires to be this and your desires to accomplish that, and all of you are saying to yourself, I'm too fat, I'm too ugly, I'm too old to ever find love. I'm too stupid to ever find the right job. Yet you desire the right job. You desire the right love, but you don't believe that you could ever have it. Well, you've come here to solve that problem. You've come here to renew your desires of the Father, D-E, of Sire Father. You've come here to feel once again what's in your heart. And you've come here to go out to the world filled and strengthened and supported in what you feel in your heart. Not only to the world out there, but to the person you love. To have the strength and the courage and the self-respect and the self-esteem to know that I have something to offer you. I'm just not begging for what you are. You cannot share a loaf of bread until you have a loaf of bread. If you don't have one, let's bake a loaf. Today. Amen. Good morning.
Good morning.
Turn around and say hi and fluff each other up.
I'm tired of all the villains, and I'm tired of the men who make the laws and break them anytime they please. I'm tired of all the big lies. Where are all you good guys? Sometimes I think I feel the way that Noah did when the Lord commanded, build an ark, head for the open water, save your sons and your daughters. My sisters and my brothers, all of the ones I care about, and the people that I've come to love, I'll gather them together, promise them forever we'll be safe from the world around us. All we have to do is just love each other. Build an ark, head for the open water, save your sons and your daughters. Come on and build.
Isn't his part of the service totally different than mine? Isn't it? I mean, we work together, and his part of the spirituality is totally different than mine. I'd probably have you singing, Kyrie eleison. It's very difficult putting up with someone so close to you that is your opposite sign of the zodiac. I'm a Gemini, he's a Sagittarian. We are opposite each other. I mean to tell you, that's the truth. But the magic is I need to be 50% like him, and he needs to be 50% like me. Now that's a magic, or it's a problem. Right? Now most of you could not bear to live with someone that's opposite of you. Maybe you cannot bear to live with them, but in your heart you know you have a need for them. A need that is so great that it's often misinterpreted as love. And you can never love a need. Think about that. You cannot love a need. A need is something you need to find inside of yourself. And when the need is fulfilled, then you can begin to love. Most of you through life, when you called it love or having your needs fulfilled, your shortcomings made longer. You were being stretched. Your naivety gave way to wisdom, hopefully without ever losing its innocence. Most of you act like you have lost your innocence. Most of you in your experiences were naive. And being naive taught you great wisdom. That there are many kinds of people expressing many types of beliefs and lives and styles. And you're wise enough to know that the higher you climb the mountain, the higher the atmosphere, the fewer the trees. The lower the atmosphere, the thicker the trees and the jungle. Amen? But for those of you that climb, even though you're not used to mountain climbing, for those of you that climb, you don't pack your back like a camel going through the desert anymore. If you're going to climb a mountain and you're going to wear a backpack while you climb that mountain, you take the lightest of tent materials, ropes, with you. You don't carry a cast iron skillet to have your omelet in the morning. You carry a light aluminum pan. There's a difference, right? You don't carry a lamb on your shoulders or an apple tree to have your apples. You have now what is called dried apples, dried fruit and nourishment. Spiritually, when you climb, it's the same thing. If you're going to put anything on your back, put the things on your back that will support you in the climb. And make sure you know that the higher the altitude, the steeper the climb, and the quicker you lose your breath. Amen? So when one starts climbing higher, one learns to still themselves. One learns to still their heartbeat. What do I mean by that? One learns to handle what disappoints them, what frustrates them, what angers them, what raises their blood pressure. All these things are natural to us, and it's okay to express them on the valley floor, but these things cannot be carried on our back if we want to climb to the mountaintop and see the view and the overall picture of it all. There is nothing wrong with living in the valley floor. Nothing at all. You've ever been to Yosemite, living in the valley floor, looking up at the falls and the trees? It's wonderful. But I guess after you live there long enough, you want to know where the waterfall's coming from. And you want to climb up to the top of it. And you want to look down with your heart opened and filled. Most of us don't want to climb because what we see on the valley floor, we don't want a bigger picture of it. The picture we have is sufficient enough. I live high in the mountains of Hollywood, if you can call that high, but it's as high as you get in Hollywood. And my house is all glass looking over the city in Griffith Park. I went through hell to get that house. I lived with my brother, and we formed a financial pact many, many years ago to help each other attain our goals. I was very naive. It hurt. Along the way. But the hurt of living with him, even after his death, he lives within me and still teaches me. And there are still things that I know when I think of him that I have to understand. Not things he did to me, not things he brought out in me, but he made me aware of what was really in me. And he taught me how I handle my stuff is what kind of stuff I'm made out of. And because I was willing to live with that and learn my lesson, I live in a wonderful house today that cost me $286 a month. And being paid $750 a month by this church in salary could never allow me to afford to live on the top of Griffith Park under the Hollywood sign in Griffith Park, overlooking a panoramic view of the city in an all-glass house with a swimming pool that is exquisite for $286 a month. I am not talking about what I'm talking about. If you think I'm just talking to you about my house and where I live and how wonderful it is, I feel very sorry for you. Quit eating the dough and saying it tastes terrible and put it in the oven and bake it. I'm talking about energy, whatever lesson that you have to go through in life. If you will hold your place in love and understand that everybody has touched your life for a spiritual reason and you're never anxious to get out of anything, no matter how much you feel the pressure, because it is pressure that turns coals into diamonds. Diamonds come from coal. Did you know that? And it's the pressure of the earth and the years that make it the multifaceted diamond that it is. And before it become multifaceted, if you ever saw a diamond laying on the ground in its natural state, you'd pick it up and throw it in the pond and say, what an interesting stone, because it has no luster and it has no glory. You think diamonds are laying in black hole going, twinkle, twinkle, little star, here I am. No. Did you ever see a raw diamond uncut? There's no fire. There's no life. Just a muddy, clean stone. But when it's polished and cut, now follow those steps with yourself. You're in your raw form when you come here. Still glorious. Coal has its use too. But it is the cutting and the polishing of life that brings us to our brilliance. I wrote something for you this morning in levitation. that's a good word, in levitation. I mean, I was higher and up, higher above than where I usually am. Love does not make us feel the same way. Just the same way for us to feel. When you love someone, they may not feel the same way you feel. Love will never make us feel the same way. And often when we feel that we are in love, we want that person to feel the way we feel. To hate who I hate, kill who I kill, and believe who I believe, and what I believe in, prove you love me. And when we love someone, we want them to feel the way we feel. It is self-ending there, self-destruction. Because if everyone else you meet agrees with the way you feel, then everyone you have met in your life is unnecessary. My father always taught me when I was a child, if 12 people think alike in any given business or the board of any business, 11 of those people are unnecessary. So most people who agree with you in your life are no longer necessary to you. Are you still with me? So you go out to find someone who agrees with you so you can love them and they can love you. And then once it happens and you agreed, you are bored. And they are no longer necessary in your life. There is no growth. There is no understanding. There's no tears. There's no real laughter. And there's no real feelings. What fascinates us the most in our life, be honest with me for a moment, is not so much who loves us, but what really gets our attention and holds us are the people that we know and see daily that don't like us. We are more aware of where they are in the cafeteria. We are more aware of what they're doing in the office. We are more aware of where they sit in the church. We are more aware of their position within the church. And what their position can do to our position. And a lot of awareness is spent there. And awareness governs reality. Perception governs the reality. That is the world according to Garth. versus the person whose energy is aware on who they love and still, after 1 year on the job, are just as excited as the day they got it. And they went out and screamed and said, oh, I got a wonderful job. And a year later, you're hearing them doing their human stuff. Oh, that damn job. That so-and-so I got to work with. And the controller. You were happy a year ago. What happened? Why did you lose that happiness? What employee that told you, oh, the place is a terrible place to work, and you wanted their friendship so bad that you became their friend and began to see what they see? Most of you are seeing what other people see, and you call it love, and I call it blindness. I call it tunnel vision. You know who you really love? Those who show you sights you have never seen before. And those who have given you feelings that you have never felt before. Therefore, you have a very clear understanding of what it is to love thy enemies, because they are the most exciting, the most challenging, and the most rewarding experiences you shall ever have in your entire life. Amen? Or did I just lose you there? Love does not make us feel the same way. But it does teach us the same way we all should feel, in unconditional love and freedom towards each other. Not to take people in your life and oppress them by obsessing them and by possessing them. Not to feel that you have to keep guard on anything you have in your life, lest your brother rob you. If your brother can take anything away that is yours, let him take it, and also lending your dolly to move it. What is yours cannot be moved away from you, because you are the source of all good that is in your life and no one else. No one can steal from you. No one can move out and take all your furniture. No one has taken anything away from you unless it was false manifestation of energy. What is yours cannot be removed from you. And I wear a ring that I flop down on any department store because I'm so poor, but this fools everybody. And I get service out there like you wouldn't believe. Because when somebody in the store bowing down, you know, the shop with me won't wait on me, I go like this. And they go, ooh, what a diamond. He's somebody. I render unto Caesar's what is Caesar's. You know how I got this? You know how I got this beautiful diamond that I adore, that is my spiritual ring that I store my energy in? A jeweler in this church made me a gold ring with a fake diamond in it. And I used to have the habit of taking all my jewelry off before I did a sermon and lay it on the pulpit. I would get so high with you and so into wanting to share with you that I would forget my jewelry, and I'd go into the vestry, and by the time I remembered I don't have my ring on, I'd send somebody out to get it, and it was stolen that fast. True? Even my cross that I've made a mistake of dropping on the floor and not picking up was stolen. A new one was made. This cross is much bigger and much prettier than the one that was stolen. This diamond is a 4-carat marquee pure diamond. It's much prettier than the fake diamond L in the gold ring that was stolen. You can't steal what is mine. And if you need my fake diamond so bad, may you wear it in peace and health, and I'm waiting. Does anybody understand me at all? Now, I'm not talking about what I'm talking about. Because as far as I'm concerned, these belong to the church. This is church jewelry. And the jewelry, the diamond ring that Daniel wears, was given by someone in the church for Daniel because they know what he'd do to him. And all the boys know and all of us know that all that we own belong to the church. I want to tell you something. For me and for most of you, this house of God is the most God you'll ever see while you're here on earth. This is it. You and I come together, and this is the most experience or sight or feeling of God we will ever have with each other. And what we're trying to learn in this church is go and do wrong no more. Do not mislead anyone because you need them so badly. You are free to do any action. Jesus said a man is not judged by his actions, but he's judged by his intentions. and never, never mislead anyone by hiding your attentions. Go and enjoy life. Be what you must be. Look for who you must look for. But do not lie. Do not cheat. Do not bear false witnesses. Do not covet their goods. Do not do these things. And if you keep doing wrong, it becomes evil. If you turn evil around backwards, it spells live. It means you're living in opposition to what you know is right. And if you keep living that way, it gets L-I-V-E-D. I live like this. Spell it backwards, and it's D-E-V-I-L. You are obsessed by living in reverse to who you really are, and that's hell. And I don't care how many friends you have. When you go through life and you say, nobody really knows me, and nobody really understands me, the sadness is really yours. Is really yours. Now, you people are looking for the impossible. The impossible takes a little longer. You people are not willing to live on the valley floor. You people want to climb to the very heights. There are no trees on Morrow Rock. There's no trees on Half Dome. The altitude is so high. And where it seems the most naked is the most splendid of views that truly clothe the nakedness. And for you people, you will not run into each other easily and readily. The trees are far and few between up here. But you will run into each other, and you will see each other, and you will feel the distance of running across the earth, of all its warmth and wonderness, as you run to greet each other in this high energy of life. Amen? So each of us in our hearts must keep very special what's in our heart. Jesus Christ faced more disappointments and anger and resentments just like you did. He even says, I underline some scripture. I'll close with this. Where are you going anyway? In Matthew and Luke report that he rejoiced in Holy Spirit and offered a spontaneous prayer. He got so excited over something. He had manifest his glory to Peter and John and James. He found other followers when he came back quarreling how to help a boy who was possessed by the evil spirit. Looking at the unruly crowd, Jesus said, what an unbelieving, perverse lot you are.
What an unperceiving, perverse lot you are.
No, he was angry. He was frustrated. What an unbelieving and perverse lot you are. How long must I remain with you? How long can I endure you? You ever hear this before?
Jesus said this to his 12.
How long do I got to put up with you? He had problems. Oh, he was divine and I'm just human. Oh, no. He was no more divine than you are. And he was no less human than you are. He appeared a little more than an animal. And a little less than an angel. Right smack in the middle where the heart is. So you may see very clearly your next step of evolution. And the value of loving freely, beautifully, and unconditionally. Knowing that nothing outside of you can hurt you. All destruction starts from within. All evil treasure of the heart comes out of the heart. All good treasure comes out of the good treasure of the heart. Whatever you measure, whatever you judge, whatever you're putting out is exactly what's happening to you. And the message of Christ is, if you don't want to be judged, then quit judging. If you're afraid of condemning and you don't want to be damned, then quit condemning. My law to you is love every single person on this planet unconditionally for whatever they're doing. And stop stoning the prostitutes outside my church so you can have fun. That's what they did in the olden days. Quit throwing the leopards out there and not taking care of them so you don't have to deal with it. Quit telling the people that people have AIDS or the leopards of today and unholy and unclean. Jerry Falwell should have such a belief in God that he would have no problem giving a person with AIDS the kiss of peace instead of the kiss of death. God gives the kiss of peace and he gives the kiss of life. and he gives the kiss of love, and he gives the kiss of understanding, but he has never given you permission to stand back and stare at a man in judgment and condemnation, because you do not know what experience that they are being very rightful unto, no matter how wrong you say it is, that is leading them to the glory and the edification of wisdom and light that you are looking for. You don't know. Now, you establish your beliefs in such a way, if something's not right on this earth, God will correct it and you stay out of it. God did not appoint you to do his correction. God did not appoint the church to tell the people that when he made the church, when he made the people, he made a mistake, and they, the church, are going to correct the mistake God made. God did not make a mistake when he made me. God did not make a mistake when he made the people of this earth. How dare the church say that he did? And that they would correct it. For God so loved the world. So loved the world. Not angry that they departed from him. However far they want. God so loved the world that he sent the firstborn spirit of heaven to dwell amongst them and to speak of his love and to put an end to the Old Testament of an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth and justice and the law. And taught us to love each other unconditionally and leave to God the kingdom, the power, and the glory. And all revenge belongs to God. And you don't even have the right to pray, well, if I can't get even, dear God, let me be there when you get them. No, 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 no. Love does not make us feel the same way. Just teaches us the same way for us to feel for each other. There are many other scriptures where this man was truly upset. One time, the Greeks used Philip to come to him as an intermediate, and the Greeks wanted to become Christians, and Jesus said, I've only come to my people. I've only come to the Jews. I haven't come to the world. And all of a sudden, he was faced with a dilemma. I've come for the Jews, Philip. Why the hell are you bringing me Greeks? And then the church goes on to explain, at that point, Jesus saw a vision of not only lifting the people that were ready for God, but even the people that were beyond that. And opened himself to the Greeks, to other cultures, to other belief systems that still could exist and have a common love for each other. So let us restore our spirits this morning. Let us take the breath of peace. And let us know that we are climbing. Some of us have lost our breath. Some of our knees are skinned. Some of our fingers are bleeding. Some of us have rope burns from pulling ourselves up. But I guarantee you, when you see where you are, you'll wonder, how did your knee get scraped, when and where? When did you get that rope burn? How many of you ever were so busy doing something you wanted to do that you cut yourself in the garden or were pricked by a thorn or something and you didn't know it till you were sitting down and start looking to see where the blood came from on you? Anybody ever been there? You weren't home physically when you cut yourself. There is a place to abide where the pain is not painful and the ecstasy is born out of an agony. And all agony is seed. All suffering is useless. Amen? Now you have each other. And you have the wholeness of your spirit. No church owns it. No religion owns it. We must all give each other the freedom to seek God unencumbered. And to know that he works his ways so wondrous in so many different ways. And all paths lead to the top of the mountain. But if we are the people that are walking this path together, then let us walk and talk and share. Praise be the name of Jesus Christ.
I feel better. You feel better?
Yes.
Say yes. Want to fluff your pillow again? Turn around and say hi now. These are the people God are having you touch. You might be living together forever and ever with each other. You might be each other's people. Look around. I don't want you to get home and say, who are you? All Jerry Falwell's people know who they are. All Jimmy Swaggart's people know who they are. They'd have no problem with saying, oh, here we all are. This must be heaven. All of you would get up there and say, who are you? Where are we? There's no heaven for us till we make it. You know what the secret of heaven is? God did not create heaven. You are the creator of heaven, and you haven't made one yet. He said, whatever you bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. Whatever you loose on earth shall be loose in heaven. Will you tell me what you've bound on earth so you'll find it there? Will you tell me what you let go of here so you won't find it there? You and I have the opportunity to love, to find, and to create a heaven. I don't want to go to Jimmy Falwell's heaven, Jimmy Falwell's. I don't. But I certainly want him to have his.
Morning.
Listen, I don't mind carrying her cross, but getting on it for her is going too far. Get on her own cross. This is your job. Do it.
Guess what my job is?
A laborer is worthy of his hire.
Okay, this is the time for our collection this morning.
Yay. 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 Energy.
Up.
How lucky you are to get to give.
All right.
Lily, your prosperity's at stake. How lucky you are to find... I'll do it.
Knew you would.
How lucky you are to find the place to give your good to make good happen. So we're not fundamentalists.
Amen.
Amen. But we have as much obligation to give 10% of our good, whoever we are,
back to the universe the same as them.
Amen.
Now, put it back. Make this place grow. Make it prosper. Make our message and our signal to the world line up with the other signals that are all a part of the rainbow. Jerry Falwell, Jimmy Swaggart, Ramakrishna, Buddha. All these beautiful rainbows. It's all coming from one light shot through a prism. Now let's not say how strong theirs is or how weak ours is. We're the lavender ray, the weakest of them all. That's why we hate those heavy red rays down there. They're so strong, obnoxiously strong, and we're so weak and scintillating in our lavender new consciousness. Well, right beyond lavender is indigo. That strength of space where creation will come. These are not your seeds that you're planting. Cast your bread upon the water. Help us serve what we've come here to serve, and help our voice that is added to the rainbow of voices concerning the Father be put out there so everyone can know it's one great rainbow, which is God's promise. Amen? You ready? This is better than communion. We'll have communion a week from next Sunday. I'll do it.
Who was the greatest of them? And Jesus sat down and called the 12 and said to them, He who wishes to be the first, let him be the last of men and the servant of every man. And he took a little child and made him to stand in the midst, and then took him in his arms and said to them, Whoever receives a child like this in my name receives me. And he who receives me does not receive me, but he who sent me.
There's a full moon over India, and Gandhi lives again. And who's to say you have to lose for someone else to win? In the eyes of all the people, the look is much the same. The first one is the last one. When you play a deadly game, it's a bad time. We recognize it. We're all in this together. It's a bad time. We found out and make it on our own. It's a bad time. We realize it. The changes in the weather. It's a bad time. And it's about changes. It's a bad time. There's a light in the Vatican window for all the world to see. And a voice cries in the wilderness. Sometimes he speaks for me. I suppose I love him most of all when he kneels to kiss the land. With his lips upon our mother's breast, he makes his strongest stand. And it's about time. There's a man who is my brother. I just don't know his name, but I know his home and family, 'cause I know I feel the same. And it hurts me when he's hungry and when his children cry. For yes, I am a mother, and those little ones are mine. It's a bad time.
Speaking of time, my son is marking time today is his birthday, 24 years of time, right? Maestro, let's give him a blessing. Come here. Come up, show me how cute you are. Is this cute? They call him Little Jesus. I heard the rumors. Ready? The help of some people in this church and the love of his daddy, he got a 75 restored Fiat, little sports car convertible top for his birthday. Little boy thought he'd never have a driver's license, alone drive a car. We remember when you couldn't read and write, you were just waiting to be loved. Could he read and write your cards now? Daniel is Beau, myself and Don. If you look at any one of us, were your story of evolution within this house. And it's wonderful to let changes come. We want to open learning centers throughout the country. They will not start as churches as this is, because this started this way. But more important is not scaring people with religion, but teaching people spirituality. Yet I am born of the old church, where it says, take the fire and leave the ashes. That which is behind me is yesterday. But to those that are visiting, that statue, because Christ's greatest message to man was, remember to keep holy what's in your heart. Never go against yourself. Even in the highest form of Catholic theology, you're taught to obey your conscience above all. And that's merely saying, keep holy what's in your heart. And the candles on the one side represent the three below the heart, the three glands. The candles on the other side are the three glands above the heart, which is the chakra system, making the figure eight, meeting at the center of the heart and keeping holy what's in the heart. The tabernacle that is there has bread and wine in it, which you're free to take anytime you feel you need it. You're allowed to touch it and take it. Just respect it. It stores up all the energy. All the energy. You believe in psychokinesis and all the study of parapsychology. All that energy is in that unleavened piece of dead bread. That's why they use unleavened bread, because its vibrations are open. Prayer candles burn for people's memory and people's thought. It's good to light a candle because it impresses itself upon your senses what your prayer is. And fire is the unseen energy made manifest. It's been all the altars of men from the beginning of time. This is the last day of summer. The equinox begin and fall starts tomorrow. And fall means to fall back. And a lot of people are afraid to fall back because they don't have anything to catch them. I remember as a kid we used to play, fall back and I'll catch you. Sometimes I would, sometimes I wouldn't, depending on what I wanted to get even with you for. And you know that if you could trust somebody, and it was your turn to fall back, any of you ever do it? You could just stay straight and let go of your heels and go. And that little tiny split second that couldn't be measured in there, it was just so glorious. What if we could extend that? And I said to you, now let's fall back. Now see, this is the time of the harvest. This is where you go and bring in all the crops from summer. If you got fired during the summer, you don't care. You'll go to unemployment and go to the beach. If a lover leaves you at summer, you don't care. You'll go find another one and go out and celebrate. When bad things happen to you in winter, you could just about die. Let the same things happen to you in summer and you can handle it. It's true. It's your nature. If you're going to leave me at all, leave me in June. Summer's so adventurous. But everybody closes themselves up in fall and you can't find anybody. They're not at the beaches. They're not out on the docks. They're not anywhere. So we start falling back. Now, if you do not have a harvest of your own, I would encourage you to join in someone else's harvest for fall, because the labor is worthy of his hire. So come enjoy it, because the labor is great and the laborers are few. This is the time to start for the season. Christmas isn't a day that you get annoyed with. This is a season. We are going to fall back. We are going to have a wonderful time at Halloween when we celebrate All Souls Day, All Saints Day. That's the day where all religion says, be mindful of the dead that's gone beyond and they're still with us. And then we move from all the spooks that go in the night into Thanksgiving, and we will share Thanksgiving with each other in services and our friends, and then to Christmas Eve and its special services in the church, and Christmas morning and New Year's Day and all that goes with it, and our friendship and knowledge of each other. This begins a season tonight. So if you feel a little ebb, just remember your spirit saying, fall back and I'll catch you. Amen? Nurture strength of spirit then. Goodbye to summer and hello fall. Sharing a harvest. I want to introduce you to someone now. I hope I don't embarrass her. But sometimes you meet people and your heart sings. You don't know why. Normally I will not go anywhere with Don, but this Saturday I just disappeared and went with him. And I met Dina Batchelor from the Valley. And UMS has been missing a puzzle, a piece. Something's been missing. And I'm looking for the person to bring that piece. And the minute I saw this girl, she was my potential new girlfriend. And the more I've gotten to know her, you've heard her on our radio show, soon you'll see her on our television show. And her organization has agreed on a trial basis, but we see no problem with this, to function with UMS and help them create a Valley Center out there in the Valley. And we're getting letters from people. And you're going to find a wonderful teacher who'll be amongst you teaching her classes. She's a wonderful woman with a great spirit, and I'd like you to welcome her and her people this morning, Dina Batchelor. Would you like to come up here and say something? Come on. Yeah. And upon this rock,
the only thing I want to say is, if you put this kind of light together with our kind of light, the only thing you get is illumined.
Really? Thank you, darling. God willing, you'll be hearing a lot from her. And wonderful things are going to happen. Dear God, if I am in the state of grace, I pray you keep me there. If I am not in the state of grace, I pray you bring me there. Wonderful to be with.
I can't promise you what I'll be like next month. But this is a good month to catch me. I went back during the offering. I said, God, that was a good sermon. I really needed that. And they said, well, they're all good. Tell me more. The point is, it is good. Because I don't think we're coming from fantasy or illusions. The people that come into this house of God come in as they are and what they are, unashamed, and looking for direction. We know the teachers that we need will appear before us. And as we dwell in this house of the Lord, we find that earth is a support system, not a punishment. Life is to be enjoyed, not hopefully to get through.
Amen.
Now my living comes from you. There's a minister's tithing box. I do not make my living from salary from the church. I put none but I'm paid. I'd rather be paid by you. Would you please remember today your love offering to me? Your tithes and offerings go to the church. And I have a big family. But they all work in serving you. That's my family. Bo and Daniel work without salary on the ranch. We need our tires fixed and our oil changed and our cars and our rent paid and our gas. But I'd rather you do it for me. You not make it money, but make it what it's supposed to be. It's a symbol of offering a part of your value to that which you love. The words of St. Joan of Arc, who heard voices and was put to death by the church because of the voices that led France into victory. When she was burning at the stake, said the words we use as the prayer of this church each time we meet. And I ask you to be mindful of them today. Dear God, if I am in the state of grace, I pray you keep me there. So you stop praying to get out. You prayed to get into today. What you're into today, you prayed for yesterday. Oh, dear God, get me here. Oh, dear God, get me that, and I'll be happy. Today you're praying to get out. Dear God, if I am in the state of grace, I pray you keep me there. If I am not in the state of grace, I pray you bring me there. Could there ever be a more simple and more beautiful prayer spoken from a woman who heard the voices of Spirit that is still worthy of repeating today in our services? For each of you must go back and live your lives accordingly to the dictates of your heart. If you are in the state of grace, may God keep you there. If he's not, by the very nature of your prayer, he will move you there. Be in peace.
You
as you are.
Go and do wrong no more. Peace.